Okay. Would one of you folks mind shutting that door? Or... Thank you. Okay. Members, appreciate everybody's patience. Are there any members that have bills that are on general file that might have to... Okay, so we've moved them to the bottom. Or I think we're okay then. Okay. Okay, members, I want to, as we work through these governor's letters, and we're going to, I've changed up the order a little bit that we're going to work them. And the first one, of course, we've already dealt with, and we did that. The first action of this committee was governor's letter number one on the revenue. We've decided that, so you can take that one off and put it to the back of the pile. The next one up is governor's letter two, and the governor's recommendation is to move the cap, and then also adopt the Joint Education Committee recommendation on the ECA. So what I'd like to do is divide this letter, and so I'll just make the motion to divide these two issues right down the half by paragraph. Is that worked on? That's the way I see it. Is there a second on that? Okay, seconded. All those in favor, I guess we don't need to vote on division. It's divisible. Okay, so we're going to divide that and talk about the cap from 475 to 550. Basically, when we set this up, I mean, the whole idea was to actually save some money in the common school account. You know, I'd like to find a way to move $1 billion in the common school account. It doesn't have the same funding richness as the permanent mill trust fund, particularly that statutory 1%, to really grow it. I mean, it's continuing to grow with all of our policies. But anyway, so that's that. So we deposited $220 million, roughly, wasn't it, this in July in the common school. Largest deposit, I think, in maybe ever, one-time deposit. So, but here we are at 475, and looking at the future of coal lease bonus, the forecast is only probably to deposit a couple million would go over that cap if we adopt some things, and depending on what bills pass. But we're looking at max maybe $25 million rolling in if some bills failed and ECA wouldn't adopt and CapCon got cut or whatever. So anything that we take back in any of our actions will probably get deposited. Was that safe to say, Don?
Mr. Chairman, yes, but one important thing to note is the FY15 capital gains or unprofiled earnings could be in the $50 to $100 million right. range below the 5% that are still not profiled. That would ultimately flow down the page and be deposited in this account. So I don't think it's unreasonable to think about $50
million. Yeah. So that's the take on it. Go ahead, Mr. Co-Chair.
So if I understand that it's the same policy as we have with the permanent mill trust on a 5% SPA, and what you profile or what you have your fixed income at 2.5, and you're expecting at least another 2.5, and that's the $50 million.
Mr. Chairman, yes, and 50 is conservative. I think it might be 60 or 70.
And you expect that when?
June 30th of 2015.
So, given our projections, and we know about the double whammy and the delayed effect that these declining mineral prices will have on the property taxes ad valorem, and given the fact that what we know about coal lease bonus is a fact, and so the idea is to raise this tip, to hold a little more in reserve, and so I would motion actually to raise that to 600, and just to keep that in savings and reserve. And I don't know if there's a second. I don't think it matters if it's 550 or 600. I just want to make sure we don't probably tip another seven, you know, any extra that we're going to need.
Mr. Chairman, I'd second that.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion then on this raising the tip?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, and the reason I think it's a good idea is as we look at the out years, I mean, we know the oil, you know, we've been concentrating today as we talk about general fund. This one talks about the school foundation account, which is an entirely different funding mechanism. And ultimately, when you look down there, there's a significant amount of uncertainty. And then the loss of Coley's bonus money, the ability to finish out the building, the capital construction of schools over the next, which, you know, over about the next 3 to 4 years, we get through that. And we pretty much get through that, and then actually we see capital construction actually would drop in half for schools, roughly, and from what it's been. And so if we trap that before it spills over, I think that we're going to be looking for revenues to fund schools. And if we don't do this, I think that the only place we're going to have to come back to do that from is to take it from a general fund that's already going to be stretched and overtaxed.
Okay, any other comments?
Question.
Okay, the motion is the Gov's Rec as amended to 600 on the cap on this Division One. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Now on Division Two, the ECA adjustment. We have a JAC position, which is we set in December. Is that correct, Don?
Mr. Chairman, in October, meeting.
October?
Yes. The JAC set a position that was somewhat different than the JEC, and the governor's rec is the JEC position, which is about $15 million impact. I believe the JAC only identified a couple, as I recall, paraprofessionals and the support services received an increase, and then the $6 million salary continued. Those were the general differences.
Yeah. Okay. So two of the four components plus the $6 million. And that difference in cost is about $7 million. Is that correct? I had my brain eight. We added eight to it in our October meeting, and the governor's was another seven on top of that. Matt, you got some more?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Matt Wilmarth, LSO. In the block grant, it would add another about $6 million, but then you have to include the $6 million bonus that they kept in there. So that's a total of $12
million. Say that again. $6
million. $6 million would be added to the block grant guarantee for the two components that the JAC would adjust, and then you would keep in the $6 million. So that's about a $12 million.
What? Oh, so the governor's...
So that'd be $12 million.
So the governor's recommendation didn't take out the $6 million?
Mr. Chairman, the governor's recommendation did. So if you look at them side by side, the JAC would do $6 million with the guarantee and keep in the $6 million. And then the JEC, or the governor's recommendation, would be $15 million net the $6 million.
So minus the $6
million. It'd be $21 million less the $6 million equals the $15.
So which it's is $7 million more than what we did in October.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's about a $3 million difference in
so that's the first I've heard that. I guess I thought it was $7 million. So restate that again. What we did in October as a JAC increased what we did over the two-year budget last year by how much?
Mr. Chairman, I turned off my mic. Can you repeat that, please?
What? Just so we passed a two-year budget last year, and the salary package we had, and then we increased that in our October meeting. The JAC did. We increased the recommendation for the supplemental budget. How much was that increase? I thought it was $8 million. And then the net, I'm trying to find out the difference between what we did in October and what the governor and the JEC are proposing. That's what I said, the JEC and the governor. And I think that net is seven I've had in my head from day one, and I guess now I've heard maybe it's three.
Mr. Chairman, the last paragraph on the second page of the letter to the governor from JAC estimates that the JAC's recommendation will add an additional $5.76 million to the current funding model appropriations. but they also keep in the $6 million for the one-time bonus for next fiscal year. So you add those two together, it's about a $12 million ECA for next year. The governor's recommendation is about a $21 million block grant guarantee adjustment, but then it backs out the $6 million for one-time bonus money next year, so it nets out to 15. So the difference between the two positions is about $3 million.
Okay.
Or, Mr. Chairman, just I guess one clarification is the $6 million currently is already in the budget.
Mr. Chairman, can you read State Department down?
Mr. Chairman, since the $6 million is already in the budget, I think you take that kind of off the table, if you will, and then you you compare net of the $6 million, the Gov's rec and the JEC rec is $15 million, and the JAC rec is $6 million. So that's a difference of $9 million when you don't consider the $6 million, because the $6 million doesn't hit the profile. It's already been appropriated. I think I'm saying the same thing as Matt, but I just take the $6 million off the table for the profile analysis. And then you compare 5.7 to 15 million, and that's probably closer. It's not quite the 8 million you were thinking of. It's a little bit different than that, but that's it's close to what you had in your mind.
So I'll ask it differently. So if we approve the governor's rec, it will be an increase from our current position of how much?
Mr. Chairman, $15 million. If you approve the JAC rec, it'll be $5.76 million.
More. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, if I can ask a question, can we review what we did in October? Because I thought we approved three component parts, and one was utilities, one was textbooks, and one was the non-classified personnel. Is that not right?
Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Wilmarth can correct me, but I believe the JAC, there are four components, professional staff, non-professional staff, materials, and energy. JAC only adopted changes to two of them, the educational materials and the non-professional staff.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, the non-professional staff change was $2 million, and I'm round to 2.1. Educational materials was $3.7 million, both increases.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I thought that we also on the energy side of things, it showed a negative balance, and we decided not to take that negative balance out of there, so which would is in essence an increase of that energy component by, I don't know, it was a few hundred thousand, 300,000.
What do you have, Matt?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stubson, I believe that motion failed.
Okay.
So I believe the two motions that did pass were the two that Don just mentioned.
So really, our action in October was just a recommendation, obviously. So we really have a myriad of decisions to really to stay with our position of last year. Okay. Adopt what we did in October, or adopt the governor and the JEC's rec, or some position in between.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Burns.
I'm just a bit confused by the two answers I heard. And I guess, Don, by your answer, Mr. Chairman asked you what the difference was between the governor's rec and the JAC's rec, and you said $15 million. And if JAC's recommendation was $5.7 million and the Gov's rec is $15 million, we're excluding that extra six, that's about a little over $9 million difference.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, I agree. It is a $9 million difference on the profile. The governor's rec would increase the profile by $15 million. The JAC rec would increase the profile by $5.76 million. I agree. It's a $9 million difference on the profile.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chair.
just so I understand this, then if we're going into recalibration, does this automatically bump up the recalc? Is that something that becomes reoccurring if we do the ECA in this fashion? Whether you go with JAC or JEC. Is that correct?
Matt?
Mr. Chairman, Chairman Ross, I think the answer to that is it's unknown. It's for the legislature to determine.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, any other questions, Cannon, before we...
Chairman,
start working. Senator Burns.
I guess I'm having no familiarity with the process on the recalibration, but I thought that was supposed to be based on the cost of education, regardless of what we're paying now. So I don't understand how 15 more million or 5.75 more million would make any difference to the recalibration.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, I'll do my best to simplify this for you. Our consultants determine what that cost is. They look at our education basket of goods and say it'll cost X amount of dollars to fulfill that need. We have produced what that amount is, and we've also compared that to what the legislature has chosen to fund as well. And that cost difference is about $80 million between the two amounts. The legislature pays about $80 million more than what our consultants have determined what the cost of delivering that basket of goods is. And during recalibration, our consultants or whoever does recalibration will determine, again, what that cost to deliver the basket of goods is. It could be more, it could be less, but they will determine what that cost is. It is the legislature's prerogative to go above or below that, but the court has said you must fund the cost. And so recalibration will determine what the legislature funds, but it also determines what the consultants say what that cost is.
Mr. Chairman, one more follow-up. Sure.
Just so I understand this, I have two different school districts in my district, and one of them's just been screaming bloody murder that the state's been taking money away from. The only difference I've been able to find where any less money has been paid out has been the cost of living index. And you may get less money a year later because the cost of living area cost of living index dropped for your particular area. Is there any other reason that a school district might have lost money?
Mr. Chairman, the largest driver for funding is the student count. So if your enrollment drops, an ADM, I mean, that will be the main reason why your funding drops.
No, they've had increasing ADM.
So another reason, independently of the regional cost adjustment, would be if you're, let's say you have a more experienced teaching staff retire. The model provides for experience of your staff, and the more experience that you have, the more that the model will provide. But if you hire more less experienced teachers or teachers with less education, that'll reduce the cost, but not in a significant amount. Unless it's a large amount of teachers.
Senator Burns, which school district was that? Is that one, two, or three? I'm sure. One.
Okay. Next was Senator Wasserberger. And then Senator Haster.
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman, I pass.
Okay, Senator Haster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, right into, I guess I have several questions. Matt, you talked about the court, and so the court says we will fund education, does the court not also say that we would be providing the ECA? What does it say on the ECA?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to defer to Tanya Hytrek, our staff attorney. She'll be here in just a minute, and I'll let her answer that question.
Okay, maybe. Senator... Could you, Matt, why don't you give us the history of ECAs since the last recalibration? And when was that? That was 2009 or 10. And just give us that committee the quick history while we're waiting on her.
Mr. Chairman, so the model that we're operating under now was established in the 2006-07 school year. That following school year in 2007-08, we provided a 3.8 percent ECA. And, Mr. Chairman, if the committee members want to follow along on this, we have a report on our school finance website. It's the 2015 or 2014 block grant monitoring report, and I can get copies for you as well. But in 2007-08, the first ECA was 3.8%. In 2008-09, it was 4.3%. In 2009-10, it was 3.7% for a cumulative 12.27%. In 2010-11, we didn't provide an ECA. And then in 2011-12, we recalibrated again. We reset the model and started over. In the 2012-13 school year, we did not provide an ECA. In the 2013-14 school year, we did not provide an ECA. The current school year, we provided an ECA about model-wide of about 0.95%. And then under current law, we have one scheduled for next school year of 1.57.
Okay. And I think, well, go ahead, Senator Hastert, if you have more questions. I was just...
Mr. Chairman, Tane is here Senator Hastert wants to restate his question.
Well, I guess the question I'll restate is, you know, since we were talking about the court cases and the court saying that we must fund education, and then what did the Supreme Court rule on the ECA?
Mr. Chairman, Tanya Heitrich, Legislative Service Office. The court did not require an ECA. They require that you fund the cost of education. And in the last Campbell case, the court really said it's the legislative determination as to monitoring the cost and determining if there's an inflation and how that inflation is funded. And in addition, they stated, Mr. Chairman, that there's no requirement for a particular index.
Mr. Chairman.
It talked more about consistency of an index, as I recall.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator Wassenberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does our statutes require an ECA? Do we have it placed in statutes that we have an ECA?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, it requires as specifically directed by the legislature. And that's
21-13-309. Senator Hastert, did you have another question or two?
Well, Mr. getting over to kind of dovetailing off of Senator Burns's questions of how the districts have lost money, and you know, it just seems to me that you know we have kind of have in a way kind of some unfunded mandates or however you want to state it, you know, that people talk about a cost-based model and a consultant's model, but what we really have is a legislative model, and that we have requirements of a 16-to-1, which is huge. And I know, you know, we're taking care of a lot of the capacity issues, but we're not really taking care of too much of the district's needs as far as staff and supplies. You know, we have districts I know that are paying out over $250,000 for new curriculum adjustments, which for books for like language and math and things like that. And their purchasing power is dropping dramatically. And so it just seems to me that there's a lot more stresses on the school districts because of legislative decisions than what we've had in the past.
Okay. Just a quick question. Representative Hastert brought up the legislative model, and that's what I always refer to. Matt, when was it at the last recalibration, 11-12, where we determined that the legislative model was actually – about $100 million over the consultant model. Was that back in 11-12? Because you just stated that for 14-15, we think it's about $80 million over.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, that's correct. In the 2011-12 recalibration, or the 2011-12 school year, it was about a $101 million difference. It went down last school year in 13-14 about $84 million. In this current school year, with the ECA that was provided this school year, it's estimated to be about a $92 million difference, $91.8 million difference.
That's and probably a result of our 0.95 ECAs brought it back up. And
Mr.
I think,
Sherman,
folks, I've set in on all these recalibrations. I'll just give you my 2 cents worth. Basically, in 11-12, the decision was made, we're going to try to converge that amount. And, you know, that's fine, I think. And I'm going to give my, as a policy issue, we'll have to decide whether we're going to fund the consultant model or the legislative model, which has given, you know, small school adjustments, K-16 through sixth grade, all those things that are very expensive, principals in every school where the original consultants didn't in these small rural schools, and all the reimbursements, all those things we'll have to decide on. But I think what we've done, frankly, over the last 5-6 years is there's been an attempt to try to starve it out a little bit to bring those two lines together. And maybe not starve it out, but to hold it down a little bit. And that'll be our real decision. Are we going to keep those things, those the legislative model that we really chose back in 6 and 7 and put into action, or are we going to go a different route? And I think, and then there's one other piece, I think, Senator Burns, where districts can lose money, and that's that regional cost adjustment. And I think it's hurt Campbell tremendously. It's hurt our district. It's hurt Fremont. And there's a couple outliers in the state. One's Jackson and one's Lusk. And Campbell got rolled in with Lusk because they had to have a certain population. And so you're with, I think Campbell's with Lusk, Crook, and Weston, and with Niobrara, Lusk, and Niobrara, Crook, and Weston. And so it brings down that regional cost. So there's a lot of issues that we're going to have to learn about as this committee, because this time next year we're going to be approving that. And so that's where I'm at on that part. But that's my editorial, and I won't even ask if you agree. But Senator Hastert, actually, Senator Hastert, Representative Conley has a question.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Tanya, you told us the language that is used in the statutes regarding that it is up to the legislature to decide how inflation is funded, as well as the obligation to fund the cost of education. And I think we heard that there are several different components to funding, being professional staff, non-professional staff, materials, and energy. Has the legislature made a decision about the funding of kind of materials and energy as it relates to inflation each year?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Connolly, kind of a complicated answer. Just in the way the legislature handled the 2010 recalibration, it was determined in the 2010 recalibration that the educational material supplies component was well above the cost. It's about $20 million difference. And so we adjust our cost-based model a component for materials and utilities every year, and our consultants provided an index to tie those two. In our legislative model, we have only adjusted for this current school year and scheduled to adjust those next year. And so every year the cost base or the consultant base has been adjusted, and its convergence has happened a little bit, but not to a great degree.
Mr. Chair, just a follow-up. Matt and Tanya, certainly as somebody who sat on JEC for 6 years before this, I mean, I remember that each year we would vote on the amount of money for increase in utilities based simply on inflation or close to that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative
Conley.
Do you
agree? Yeah.
We would present the information to the Joint Education Committee. We would identify the indices and the amounts that would be adjusted in the cost-based levels. Those would occur regardless of JEC action. the JEC would still have to provide a recommendation to the legislature, and the legislature would have to take action on the legislative funding levels. But regardless of what action the legislature made, the education materials and the utilities components in the cost-based model would be adjusted.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, sir.
You know, you had mentioned that we kind of have to decide about, you know, this consultant's model or legislative model, and it seems to me that we've already made that decision. We have put, is it not fair to say, and maybe Bat, that we have put the demands of the legislature model, the demands of the legislature onto the school districts, and the requirements of, for example, the 16-to-1 and, you know, the curriculum's demands as far as the adoption of rigorous standards for language arts and for math, requiring them to buy the new supplies that have been at a much elevated cost. So really, we're at the legislative model. There's no going back at this point. And, you know, that's what we're living under. Is that would be correct to say?
Of course it is.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hasler, I would say that the model school districts are funded on are the components and levels that the legislature has adopted.
And, Mr. Chairman, so with that, you know, we have, I think, an obligation to fund those decisions that we made. And that also, you know, and I guess in just in my mind, the corresponding, the cost of living, you know, the ECA isn't any kind of merit pay. It's just keeping them up with inflation. And we have shown that we haven't done that. So, you know, I don't know at what point we're going to take a motion here, you know, for GovsRec or what. But I think that's probably about in order if that's where you want to go.
I think we're getting close to getting a lot of our questions answered. I can sense we're moving in that direction. Are there any other kind of questions of staff or anything we need to kind of get out to just increase any understanding of this issue? Okay. So the motion here in this Division II is GovsRec. Doesn't need a second. Is there? Okay. Motion is GovsRec. Okay.
Mr. Chairman. Chair,
Representative Stubbs.
I'd move to amend GovsRec to the JAC recommendation.
Just to be clear, the JAC October 2014 recommendation. Okay, is everybody clear on that, Don? So that would add, what, the 3.7 and the plus 2 and keep the 6. Mr. President.
Mr. President, welcome.
We'll take a time out, Mr. President. Okay, so the motion on the floor is to amend the GovsRec to the October JAC rec, which would add that 3.7 and 2 and keep the 6 that we'd already. That's a rough statement of that, but everybody understands where we're at. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
I was fine until you just explained it. How much does it add?
Well, in October, we voted to increase what we did last year in last year's budget action by it. In last year's budget session, we voted to increase that. And we have to act on that if we want to do it for it to become law.
So, Mr. Chairman, my understanding of the JAC rec counts the $6 million one time that was already profiled plus $5.75 million.
That's my understanding.
And, Mr. Chairman, and just so everybody's understanding, that is, I'm going to say a fraction or what, I mean, that's, I'd like to know the difference.
$9 million.
$9 million. That's between the JEC to what JAC did.
Right. So $9 million.
And that is a fraction. You know, so if adopting the JAC rec is not adopting the full ECA that the JAC recommended.
That's correct. Any other debate or questions?
And so,
go ahead, Senator Hastert.
No, Mr. Chairman, so I would speak against the motion and ask the body to resist this you know, that this, again, we're not, in looking at the costs and what we've done with the legislative model to the school districts and fully funding an ECA, you know, this is not fully funding, our obligation to the school districts. You know, we've made commitments to, we've made demands, and we should fund those demands to those school districts, and this is not taking care of those. We have a lot of districts that are going into, most districts are going into their reserves. You know, the cost of supplies, the cost of retaining teachers, the cost of doing business has gone up dramatically, and we have not allowed the districts to keep up with inflation, and that's what this ECA does. The recommended ECA helps them keep up with inflation, and we should fund those obligations.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, resist the amendment and want to keep to the governor's recommendation and the recommendation that came from the JEC. And without beating a dead horse, that recommendation simply and carefully took into account the cost of living increases. The reality is that there is less money going into the pockets of teachers over the past several years because of the EC, because of the failure of us to pass an ECA. I think that's unfair. I mean, we have example after example from districts about what they're doing and how they're going about doing it in order to give kind of marginal step increases in some places and in other places not. Paying school bus drivers, for example, a fraction of what they would be earning as CDL drivers for any other enterprise. It's just not fair. We're giving yearly increases for utilities. We're giving yearly increases for materials. We need to take care of our people, and our people in those schools are the students and the teachers.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Co-Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I'm new to this committee and have not served on joint education, but I'm really struggling with this whole concept of if we're coming back with a recalibration that fully funds schools, why we're doing this at this point in time. And if we do this, you're taking, I believe, 5.6 here, 5.76. And so I think we've spent about $9.5 million of the $18 million. You've pretty much eaten up all of our money. That is readily available at this point in time.
Mr. Chairman?
Just one. Is there anybody? I think Senator Burns. I'm just going to go down this line of senators. Oh.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question for LSO. Since this was the JEC recommendation back in October, does LSO have a breakdown of how this breaks down per district?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, I don't have it by district right now. I could get that to the committee if that's necessary, but we provided a memo to the governor with just by component, what the cost component was. And I think Don referenced the amount, so I think it was $2 million for staff salaries and another, or 2.01 or 2.1 for the non-professional staff salaries, and then 3.66 or 3.7 for materials.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, sir.
That follow-up on that question. Where the JEC recommendation is $2 million for this and $3.5 million or whatever it is for that, but I thought these monies were on a block grant model. So what restriction is there? What guarantee or requirement is there on their part to spend it that way?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, there is no requirement. It is a block grant. They can expend those funds how they see fit.
And I think we're getting a few of these things confused. There's four components in the ECA, and we funded two of those. We gave increases to two of them. Plus, there's a $6 million salary. Just that really didn't go through the model piece that we put into it. So there's four components. We funded two of them, and a little bit on another one. Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, on and against the amendment, because, quite frankly, as you said, there's two categories
that we did not fund. This is not an external cost adjustment. This actually adds more to not being cost-based than before. And we keep talking about the two different models. I was on the 2005 recalibration that was declared constitutional by the Supreme Court. I'd like to get back to something that is constitutional and not move to something that is legislatively the funding model. So on and against the amendment.
Senator Hastert was next, and then others. Oh, well, Senator Hastert, I know, is next, and then you'll be next. Okay, here we go. Senator Perkins, are you ready? Okay.
You know, I think it, from my point of view, I mean, there is, don't forget, two points I want to make. One is that there is in statute and will occur the ECA that we did in the biennial budget that's there. So what we're talking about here is, and the way this is structured, if this motion passes, is it leaves intact the ECA that we voted on and approved in the budget sessions. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it would be an increase over what
that
you adopted last.
That's one point, Mr. Chairman. The second point is that I think you've got to be careful. I think we have to be a little bit more precise when we talk about cost, that the model is funded on the cost of education. And ultimately, if the cost of education includes COLAs, then there's no way that when you come back and do the recalibration, that if that's truly the definition of cost, there's no way that when you fund a COLAs as a part of, quote, the cost of education, that cannot be rolled back into the cost model. The cost of education does not necessarily include a COLA. That's not a true cost. That's simply an inflation adjustment. And so we have to be a little bit more precise when we talk about the cost model to recognize that COLAs are not necessarily included into the cost model. They're only adjustments in between the cost model, if we believe that they're appropriate in there. So it's not, the COLAs are not by definition included in the cost model. And if I'm wrong, I would hope I'd be corrected on that. Because if it's not that way, then everything we do here will automatically be folded into the cost of education when we come back to recalibrate, and we've been assured that that's not the case. So those are distinct and separate things we have to be careful about when we talk about these things.
Okay. I think everybody's spoken. I would just speak on against the motion. This will be my third recalibration that I've gone through, there's been a big change in 10 years, 11 years in the legislature, but it always comes down to, hey, we're going to recalibrate next year. And that, you can see, has been used for the last 4 years. Oh, let's wait till we get to recalibration. Recalibration is only 2 years away. And that's kind of, you can see that in this, the history of it. Since, you know, 10, 11, no ECA, 11, 12, no ECA, 12, 13, no ECA, 13, 14, no ECA, and then a 0.95 last year. And that 0.95 made a big difference. I mean, the districts, it did. I mean, it was because it hadn't been anything 4 years before that. So, and then the big change, and I'll just tell you, so we get educated on this, is regional cost adjustment. It's had a dramatic effect on districts and not a positive way. And so we got to all learn that before we get into this next year, and it's a lot to learn on it. So I'm going to speak on against. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on the motion? Representative Stubson is the bringer of the motion. I hope he would be the. Anybody else want to go before? Okay. I think we've had three already, and so right here, Representative Stubson. Okay. You want to go now or do you want to go last? Okay, go ahead, Senator Hastert.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate this because there was some points that really need to come out. And I want to just address Senator Burns's question on, you know, can they do what they will within the block grant? Well, there's local control. The local school boards, control what the districts do, and we don't micromanage, and I hope we provide them resources and we don't have to do that. The other thing is certainly Senator Perkins talked about recalibration. We talked about that we gave, you know, that, you know, he asked if what we are doing here will increase what we gave last time. But let's remember, we cut the last time that 0.95, it was at least in half. We cut in half the last JAC recommendation from the last biennium. So here we go. We cut it in half to the recommendation for what we got coming into this budget, at least in half. And then now we're cutting this one even more so because we're only funding, we're not even funding all the components. There's four of the components, and we're only funding two of them. So we're dropping this dramatically. So we not only haven't, as the chairman stated, not given the ECAs over those period of times, but we cut the last one at least in half, because I know I made the motion for the JEC recommendation, and it was went down and it was cut in half. So we cut the last one in half, and so we're still, the districts are still, you know, much further behind on that. And then the whole point and the notion of recalibration is absolutely, we have talked about that. And just remember that recalibration is what we're going to be doing into the future. It really shouldn't be part of this discussion because we've made these commitments. This is for the past. We need to take care of the obligations that we have and the commitments we've made to the districts. We need to make good on those. We've made these demands, and this is outside of the recalibration. The recalibration is a completely separate issue, and I know that kind of tends to muddy the water a little bit, and we're going to do and make the adjustments as we move forward. But that recalibration is into the future. And just remember, we have not fully funded an ECA six bienniums now. And so I just want to make sure that people are aware that we haven't really funded these.
Okay. I think Representative Stepson.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, I think the notion that we haven't honored our commitments just isn't based in fact at all. Because you look at the, as Senator Perkins pointed out, we've got an ECA last year. We've got already an ECA for the upcoming year. I think the full amount between those was something like $32 million pumped into education. You have cost studies that come back to us, which is really what we're supposed to base our decisions on, is the data that's presented to us, not anecdotal evidence from school districts who spend money from a block grant in whatever way they want, spend it on salaries that they determine that may have no relationship whatsoever to the model. So we look at the data. And what does the data show us? The data shows us there's no pressure, no cost pressure on salaries. That's what the data shows. And so I think I just wanted to push back a little bit on that, because the notion that we somehow are turning our back on our legal responsibility, that we are implementing some sort of unconstitutional model, just is not based in fact. And I think there's good, solid support. I think, frankly, that the JAC recommendation is overly generous and probably isn't supported by the facts we were given either, but it was the compromise measure, and I think as a compromise measure, it's an appropriate step forward, and so I would ask for your aye vote on the motion.
Okay, so everybody understands the motion, and it will return us to the October JAC position, and we'll just raise our hand. All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So that motion's been adopted. Okay, so that's the end. We've dispatched of Governor's letter number 2. Okay, great debate. Okay, next, members, we're going to move around a little bit. I'd like to move to Governor's letter number 9. And I tell you, you can take a minute while you dig through those. If you need to stand at your desk, that was like a 30-minute. We're going to go to Governor's letter 9. You have them all in order. Just look at the bottom. Now we're just going to move around a little bit.
We probably should have handed that out for this.
Yeah. I think it won't hurt anything. Yeah, I think information is... Members, next we're going to go to governor's letter number 9. Okay, so governor's letter 9 is a high altitude sports training center. It's a $20 million match. On a dollar, well, it's actually a $20 to $24 million match, so it's a one. We provide 20, and the university through fundraising provides 24 through private donations.
Mr. Chairman, I move Gov's rec.
Gov's letter, Gov's rec?
Gov's
question.
Although.
I'm sorry. What do we high altitude, the 20 million?
Yeah. And I would also make the motion that this come out of the 2015, July 1, 2015 contingency. Okay. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay. So the Gov's rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, that's been adopted. Next is, I want to move us down to governor's letter number 14. Go towards the back of your packet. Okay. Task Force on Forests. Governor's letter 14, this is asking for $705,000 in a position. Is this position time limited, Don? Do we know? If this position
Mr.
is time limited?
Mr. Chairman, it does not appear to be time limited.
Okay. Well, the motion on the floor is Gov's rec. Folks, I would like to take this. Does the $705,000 include the salary?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
And a one-year salary?
Mr. Chairman, 15 months.
15-month salary. What's kind of the thought on the length of time that these task force, these working groups will be going? Or is it continuing? Well, I would like to, members, I'd like to propose that we take this from the fire suppression account. I think what's the fire suppression account having? 14 million?
I believe that was the testimony as recently as yesterday that the account was in the $14 million range.
And the reason why, members, I'd take this out of the fire suppression account is because we've done it in the past, similar initiatives, you know, the beetle kill initiatives. We've taken a couple million out of it to try to prevent forest fires, all those things. And if we have a major fire, we're going to pay for it. I mean, we'll figure out a way to pay for it. But this is money that's sitting there in the bank, and we've used it for other forest initiatives. So if there's a second on that.
Second.
Okay. And, you know, I'm not sure what to do about the position. I guess I don't know. Members have any thoughts on that? Okay. Is there any,
Mr. Chairman, on the position? I suspect this is going to take a couple of years, but I don't think we'd be out of line limiting that position for the next 15 months and revisiting it in the next budget.
Okay.
So I would move that at least for consideration.
Mr. Chairman, I'll second on the condition. I know I understand it. You're time-limiting this to 15 months?
Mr. Chairman, and yes, I'd say we fund this as put in here for the 15 months. If the work's not done, we can revisit it in our next biennial budget.
I'd say that's a friendly amendment, so I'll accept that on the amendment.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chairman, speak on
Go
it.
Go ahead, Senator Byrne.
I absolutely agree with that as long as it's time-limited, because that looks to me like they'll have a lot of work up front and in the summer. And then I don't know what they're going to do the other 8 months of the year.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, the Gov's rec as amended. You guys have it? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, that's been adopted. Okay, that was number 14. Members, I'd like to move back to number, Governor's letter number 8, which is local government funding. Members, there's really three issues here in this letter. There's a $25 million for local government funding. There's a $6.4 to add to the the solid waste cease and transfer loan and grant program, and $2.6 for this 1995 overpayment. So I'd like to divide these, members, and we'll do the 2.6. We'll take the smallest to the biggest amounts. The 2.6 overpayment will be item number one. The 6.4 solid waste will be two, and we'll save the $25 million number three. Okay, so we're on. Let's work division number one. That's 2.6.
Mr. Chairman.
We're voting
on 2.6.
The 2.6 severance tax.
We're not voting whether to divide it.
No, I can divide. I can rule that divisible. Right? Made the motion. Okay.
Two point six.
Okay. Okay. Is there any discussion?
Wait a minute. Doesn't have to be a second. West
Gov's wreck. I'm not sure. What it
all right.
Is, but, okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I speak against the 2.6 to 7 tracks. This is an accounting thing, and we've carried it for like 20 years, I think. Now, maybe it's subject to audit at some point in time, but I'm just not fearful about that. And I think that it corrects accounting error, and that's all it does. And so I'd speak against this.
Mr. Chairman, I'd speak against it as well. It's been dragging along for a while, and we found there's some issues of really trying to collect the funds, so maybe the write-offs appropriate. However, it'll hit our goldenrod if we do this year, and I think we need to be a little protective of those general fund dollars for some other more important initiatives for the body.
Okay. Question then. All those in favor of I think that's Senator Burns' motion. I guess the motion is Gov's rec. All those in favor of the Gov's rec, say aye. Okay. All those opposed?
No.
Okay. Is there another motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I'd move to reduce that 2.6 to zero.
Seconded by Representative Nicholas. Okay.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Now on to the 6.4 municipal solid waste.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Representative Stubbs.
I'd move that we lower the 6.4 to zero.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Representative.
That particular issue, and I apologize, I don't have the numbers. I wouldn't mind seeing that appropriation, but bump it out to our July 1, 2016 number. This cease and transfer program is going to get hit hard now that we finally got the rules and regulations put together, and it is really a good first step in what we're going to do for our overall planning within the state. So I'd just like to have the body consider that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd consider that a friendly amendment.
I don't know if that's possible. That was too friendly. So, amendment now is 6.4 in 2016. Don, is that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify. The governor's rec in his profile is 6.404, in his letter is 6.4. Which do you prefer?
Mr. Chairman, I was just looking at the 6.4. I hate to say it, I didn't get together and run the numbers before today to see where we'd be at, but I think the 6.4 is what my motion was on, such as it was. Representative Stubson's motion, yes. Okay. Members, I'd hope we'd defeat this motion and take it back to zero, but we'll have the vote. Here we go. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Oh. All in favor, raise your hand. Right, that motion's been defeated. Is there another motion? Representative Nicholas, zero. Seconded by Representative Moniz. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion's been adopted. Okay, now we're on the $25 million.
Second.
It's been moved by Representative Nicholas to zero that. Seconded by Co-Chairman Ross. Any discussion? Representative Connolly.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I want to resist this motion. I mean, I've heard that counties and towns and cities are swimming in bucks, but I really don't know where. Certainly not in my community. I mean, we hear about not having staffing for fire and for police, and I very much am in favor of the governor's recommendation. You know, moreover, and not that we should be doing things because of the way that they look, but I'm pretty confident that this body is going to approve tens of millions of dollars for capital renovation and changes and to our state buildings here in Cheyenne, while every other community in the state will be looking at trying to meet its basic infrastructure needs. And I think $25 million right now and moving it to 15 is a reasonable amount of money for us to be given to our local communities.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, go ahead, Representative Nicholas.
Just in response to a good representative from Albany County, if you look at the numbers, and if you take what the $175 million that we appropriated in the biennium, and if you look at the addition of the gas tax and the other benefits that we did throughout the community, we are paying the cities, towns, and counties more money than the state has ever paid. The figures I have are roughly it's $112 million more than they were 2 years ago in total benefits to cities, towns, and counties. And so you really have to look at all the numbers to make a reasonable estimation on whether or not an additional 25 is more. They literally have received more income than we've ever provided to them.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stubson.
Just one other quick comment. My other concern about this additional money is I've heard consistently from my communities that they want stable funding, and you're sort of creating a plank by doing this, because this is certainly not, when you add this on to the $175 million we have already done, you're talking about unprecedented levels of funding, and certainly not sustainable given the current economic environment. So I think you're just setting those communities up for an unrealistic expectation of what's going to happen in the future.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye. Okay, time out. The motion is to reduce it to zero. Okay, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
It's been adopted. Okay. The next governor's letter I'd like to move to, members, is Governor's Letter 10. Governor's Letter 10. Okay. Everybody there now? This is borrowing authority. And is this specifically for fighting fires? Not for any other natural disasters, but it's for forest fires.
That's right. Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just for my information, how much is in the pooled fund investment account? I mean, where's that? But I know I've seen that number, but
About $5 billion.
Oh, okay.
It's a large amount. I tell you, my only concern with this governor's letter is, you know, in the past we'd be 11 this, and I don't think that's a bad thing. And I think it's an opportunity if you know, when we had that, what was it, $40 million fires a couple of years ago, and we B11 money, and we came back and fixed it, and it was, I don't think that was a bad thing. And it enabled the governor to kind of look into budgets and do those kind of things. So that's the only thing I worry about this. You get another deal, and you just simply go right to the loan, and there's, I don't know, I don't think it's a problem the way we've had it, frankly, but that's my take on it.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Burns.
If let's say we have a bad fire season and the governor has to borrow this $20 million, where does he pay it back from? And does he have the authority to pay it back without our specific permission?
My understanding, we'd pay it back through appropriations or the federal government. However, many times the federal government owes us those dollars. Don, any addition to that?
Mr. Chairman, I would agree. The governor himself would unlikely be the one paying it back. It would be the federal government or the legislature through appropriation.
Okay, but any other questions? Okay, the motion on the floor is Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Unsure. All those in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. That motion, that Gov's letter has failed. Okay. The next, that failed. The next governor's letter would be Governor's Letter 15. Title 25. Just, I want to make sure I did this right. Is that what? Let me find my letter. Just 1 minute. I flipped it. It's Governor's Letter 15. I got it. I just got to find it. Not sure I do have it. Yeah, I'm looking for the letter. I had it. Yeah. It's on the Title 25. Okay. Let me just drive me. I don't know. Okay. Okay. Thank you. I don't know if mine vanished. Okay. It's Title 25 placements. And the ask is, we've heard the issue the other day with the governor's chief of staff. And
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stubbs.
And make a motion. I don't. Did anybody move Gov's Rec already?
No, go ahead. Motion's in order.
I guess I'd move Gov's Rec, move to amend Gov's Rec. And rather than appropriating this amount, and Don maybe can give me a little bit of guidance, but allow the health department to flex within their budget to cover these needs. If I get a second, I'll. And Mr. Chairman, just we know that there are always significant reversions, not always, but usually significant reversions. They've got a $1 billion budget. I think this amount is something that they can, $2 billion when you talk about federal funds. So you can, I think this is something that they can handle. I know the governor wanted to bring it to our attention. I think it's worthy of attention and discussion, but I think they probably can manage for the next 15 months.
Mr. Chairman, a question for the bringer.
Okay. Go ahead, Representative Connolly.
Representative Stubson, do you know if giving flex authority is more than simply allowing a B11, or is it more than the statutory 5% or 10% within a division or within a department? Is flex authority different, basically, is my question.
Go ahead, Representative Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, flex authority is something that I just said, so I don't know.
Just that's not.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stubbs and Representative Connolly, the Department of Health already has flex authority that all other agencies have, which is 10% within or between programs and 5% between agencies. The Department of Health also has extra ability to move funds in the Personnel Services Division, Personnel Services 100 series. So we would need a little bit of clarification if you wanted to, for example, increase that 10% for the Department of Health to 25 or and keep in mind 10% of what about $1 billion budget is already quite large.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Connolly.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Then Representative Stubbson, I honestly don't think that your amendment does anything then, because they already have that authority.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the one thing it does do is zero out to $8 million and doesn't provide for a new appropriation of the $8 million. And if they do have that authority already, that's fine. I just wanted to provide them with some clear direction that that's how we want them to address this need.
Yeah, Representative Cox.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Then I would urge us to resist it. To me, this was really one of the requests that I saw in there that was truly a supplemental budget request, that we ask agencies to come in and give us their best guesses about services needed by our citizens. And that's what this agency did, but the reality is quite different, and there's an enormous surge in involuntary hospitalizations that we have to pay for, that we honestly have to pay for, and their budget is gone. And so I would ask us to resist this amendment and then accept the governor's recommendation.
Okay, any other discussion? Senator Astor.
Chairman, I would also suggest we resist that. And, you know, we definitely have an issue. We have an issue with mental health. And we need to absolutely need to visit that whole topic and, you know, look at that as an interim topic. But Representative Connolly's right. You know, this is a true, if you talk about a true supplemental budget request, this is it. You know, it is a Band-Aid, but we need to then take a comprehensive look at Title 25 and mental health issues.
Okay. Question on then, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion's been adopted.
Mr. Chair, another motion? Ooh.
Go ahead, Representative Connolly.
Mr. Chair, is it possible to amend the governor's letter? Well, we always just do the dollar figure, but in terms of language.
Sure,
I'd like to add a sentence. Let me just tell you what I'd like to do, and then you tell me if I could do it. I think that's what I'm doing. It's just that the governor's letter, the third paragraph, kind of implies that there's going to be kind of a study and more information about Title 25, but it doesn't mandate it, and it doesn't have any reporting. And I'd like to put a sentence at the end of that paragraph that says that the department will report to the Joint Appropriations Committee its findings regarding Title 25.
Can we do that in just a 300, or we do it here?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Connolly, we could prepare a footnote that requires a report. I mean, it wouldn't amend a letter, but require a report. And it would be perhaps tagged on to Representative Stubbs' motions, which is the legislative direction as to how to resolve this issue.
Yeah. Is that an amending this letter, then?
No, Mr. Chairman, it wouldn't amend the letter, but it would provide a footnote to the Department of Health's budget that requires a report on
And we can do that at this point since we have this letter still open. Okay. Okay, so that's the motion. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so that's been adopted. Okay, so we are finished with Governor's Letter 15. Now, members, I'd like to kind of move back to the... I don't know what happened to all my... Back to... I'd like to get back to Governor's Letter number 3. Kind of at the front now. Okay, Governor's Letter 3 is the court security. 1.7 million request for those counties. I would,
Mr. Chairman, we requested that we get some numbers because there were high, medium, and low figures for these measures. Did we receive anything?
Mr. Chairman, we did. It is in the report, which is also on. It is on your SharePoint, but I can go through the example. I believe they selected the total cost of the high, which is $1.277 million. The total cost for the low alternative is $598,665. There were just two.
Mr. Members, I tell you, if we could, just an idea on this, we have $1 million left in that severance. We profiled $2 million for the planning of those, and that severance, that $3 million, I think there's $1 million left. Don, is that right? There's $1 million left in that severance out of the three.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
I'd propose we take $1 million and put towards those out of that severance count. There's $1 million remaining. Is there a second? You have a second. Okay. Discussion. Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, you might accept this as a kind of sort of friendly amendment. Serving on the Court Security Commission, we've looked at this and worked at this. I've also visited with the folks at the Wyoming County Commissioner Association. Gone back and I've got a proposal. You find it on this is part of the court. This would continue. It's a footnote on page. So it begins on page 13 of the packet. And what we're doing in this is the first part of it has to do with Fremont County and Sweetwater, which was last year. But what we're talking about, if you turn to page 14, which is and go to E. On 14, you see the underlying thing. What I've done, and to be just to be quick about it, there were the eight counties. There's Park County, and then there was Weston, Goshen, Bighorn, Crook, Albany, Niobrara, and Platte. In talking back, we've visited with each of those counties to determine whether or not they were interested in participating in the program. Weston County has indicated it is not interested in participating in the program, so. That doesn't provide any allocation for Weston County. But what it is I took, and Park County, I put it a 50-50 match, so it would be similar to Fremont and Sweetwater counties from last year. The rest of the counties, which are counties that struggle, I have proposed in this footnote a 90-10 match. And so Weston wasn't interested, so there's no sense in appropriating money for them. But the others have expressed an interest in it. We're crying for Park a 50-50. For all the other counties, they have to come up with 10% in order to match the 90%. And so in doing that, what it is it would reduce the amount. Instead of $1 million, it would be, you see there, $875,576. And then we've got the language of trying to be fairly similar to what we do with Sweetwater and Fremont in the biennial budget.
Okay. Don? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just two points. we should not have included this language, and my apologies to Senator Perkins. This was a personal amendment. We included it as a Gov's rec. It clearly is not a Gov's rec, so it should have come out later, and my apologies.
Well, I'm not offended.
I don't think any of us got that far. So, Senator Perkins, and appreciate all your work on this, a lot of work, and so I would consider that friendly. So the amount would be $875, but I'd like to take it instead of general fund from the severance tax account that we pulled last year. Is that okay with? So I think this is all friendly, and so this is the amendment, $875,000 from that amount. Representative Nicholas.
I have an amendment to the amendment as presented. Amendment to the amendment, the friendly amendment. And what I would propose is that we fund this schedule for the low end, which is $560,000. Then we'll match 50-50. Anyone that wants to go to the high end on whatever if they want to do the counties want to do more than what's the low end cost at that security. Does that make sense?
Well, it doesn't make sense. I understand it, but no, it doesn't make sense. And let me explain why. I mean, we come back out and just take. We'll just start with probably the worst case. I mean, you got Niobrara County. Niobrara County, quite frankly, very rarely can afford to rub two nickels together. One, I think we heard testimony a year ago or maybe 2 years ago that one mill levy in Niobrara County raises $40,000 in the entire county. And so when you get there, it's just. I mean, ultimately, if we do that. Just some of the counties will not be able to participate because they just simply they don't have the match. And so, you know, being a believer that there should always be in some skin in the game, I have the 10, and certainly we can. I think you could play with those numbers, but that's the only reason. I understand and appreciate and believe me, I think as you go through there, as you go through and look at the report, Mr. Chairman, it's everything from. Some of it's really simple. It's like, getting, better doorknobs or getting more doors or doing some, improving windows or installing maybe some bulletproof windows and things like that. Some of it's very, very basic. Some of it actually gets to be where there is some modification of interiors of buildings. But, in there, I think it's important that we get it done. Ultimately, if counties are interested in doing it and trying to protect people that come into the courtrooms, I think that we should try and help them all we can.
Well, any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, maybe you can help with this, Senator Perkins, because if the recommendation is they can do all these things for $560,000, between $560,000 and $1.2 million, I'm just saying let's fund 90% of the low-end cost. But if they want a Chevy, they get a Chevy. If they want a Cadillac, then they got to pay. Then we match that 50-50. So we're doing exactly what you say. And for example, if you take Albany County, under your proposal, they only have to come up with $10,000. I think that they can come up with a little bit more if they're going to get $100,000 worth of improvements. So I don't know how you decided that Albany County was comparable to Bighorn County or Niobrara, but you did. I'm saying, we'll fund everyone halfway or for the low-end cost to do the security that's necessary. And that's my understanding what the study is. So tell me what about the study, what the difference is between the $560,000 versus the $1.2, which is the high and low end cost of doing it all.
The difference, you may be exactly right. I don't know that these counties haven't come forth and said that they all want to do the high end. They haven't made that implication at all. They said they want to be able to come in and do what they can do. This provides them to. This just simply provides them with that opportunity. If we. So it's. We can do that. At the end of the day, I'd rather. Err on the side of providing some additional security, but I certainly understand your amendment. I just think it's the wrong way to go.
Any further discussion?
Well, and Mr. Chair, the reason I bring that up is because, you know, if we follow all the recommendations of court security, we're going to be spending $10, $15 million a biennium at a minimum. And so we just need to take a different approach. That should be worked into maintenance and upgrades and those type of things so we can do this on a consistent but a cost-effective basis, and that the counties need to have skin in the game when they do it. If this is an emergency problem, why are we not paying just what it needs to accomplish it instead of and then paying the maximum high amount to achieve it? So that just doesn't make sense to me.
Mr. Chairman, I like and appreciate the concept of Representative Nicholas. The question I have is we don't know who is going to accept this and which counties are going to accept it, which ones won't. So what do? We put a contingent amount of money in there? How do we word this as an appropriation, not knowing if all the counties will take it or half the counties or only one county will take it?
I can't answer that because I've already spoken three times, but we can do it.
And ultimately, I wanted to come back and answer one question that Representative Nicholas asked, and that was, how did we pick these counties and why was it 10%? And for the most part, we picked the counties that were in the hardship. If you go back to the distribution formula for direct distribution, those counties were in the hardship. Bighorn, don't ask me why. Bighorn's not in the hardship county, but they're in the 10% category. I don't have a good answer for that one. But the others were simply mostly it was an oversight on my part. But the others were simply listed in the hardship counties on the direct distribution. That's why they were selected as opposed to the others. That's all.
Okay, members, anything else? All those in favor? Check. We have an amendment. We have a motion. An amendment to the amendment, and it's so we're on Representative Nicholas's amendment, which would reduce that down to that low amount. Correct? Or do we even have a second on that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think it's the low amount plus 50% of the difference between the low and the high, which works out to be $938,015, if that was the intent.
So it's more, huh? Okay. Okay, so we're on Representative Nicholas's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Okay, that's failed. Now we're on the original motion.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question on this. So as drafted, it says that their match has to come not from state funds, but that means they could use consensus grant money, and I just want to make sure that's clear. I may get asked that question at some point in time. But...
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, that's right. I mean, at the end of the day, when you look at that, I don't care how they come up with the money. It's just that they've got to come up out of their pocket somewhere else. And certainly, you know, as we look at people that come before the SLIB board or the Wyoming Water Development Commission, they cobble it together from everywhere. They cobble it together from private, from consensus money, from all other kinds of things, but it's not just a director. It's not. Anyway, you've got it.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That's been adopted. Okay. Next, members, is Governor's Letter Number 4, the Wyoming Grown Initiative for $10,000. Governor's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. I would also, we can keep that, and it's $10,000. We can keep it in this. I think we're all right with the, current dollars. Okay, next, that was letter number 4. Next is letter number 5, Cody Veterans Memorial in Park County. Centrally located in the state, Veterans Memorial, Governor's Letter Number 5. Are there the governor's rec is on the table. Any amendments?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Burns.
I would move the rec and amend it down to zero.
Case been moved and seconded to zero. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I understand that, but I think what we ought to do is look at take that to 100,000, push it out as a contingency, and then require a match on it to get to the 200,000. Push that out. That we don't have much out on our July 16 contingency. Put 100,000 on it, take it out to July 16th, and require a 50% match.
Okay, is that a motion? Amendment to the amendment?
It's an amendment.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay, that's been seconded, and then to push it out to 16 with a match. Any discussion on that?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator Burns.
On and against the amendment for a few different reasons. The first is we don't have a big demand on that 2016 money now, but come 2016, we sure will. The other question I have is what exactly is going to cost $200,000? I've been to that memorial park. It's not worth $200,000 as it is now. I mean, to build. And so I don't understand what is so expensive about this thing. This entire aspect of it should be raised with private funds in the first place and not with state funds.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Go ahead, Representative Moniz.
My question is, who's responsible for the maintenance of the park in the first place? Does anybody know?
I'm assuming.
The county or
is this a state facility?
No, probably not.
Not a state facility. Okay. Any other discussion on the motion, the amendment to the amendment? All those in favor, which would be providing half and moving it out and requiring a match, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment has failed. Now we're on the original motion, which is to zero out the governor's rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That's been adopted. Okay, members, we are on governor's letter number 6. Members, I think we've pretty much taken care of this issue, all but about 200,000, I think. So, Don, do we need to amend this letter on the 200,000, or we just keep that out there and know that we have it out there?
Mr. Chairman, I think you do have to act on the letter, and you could essentially vote against it. If you're not in favor of it, and then we will track the additional 125,000.
Oh, it's 125. Okay. Senator Burns.
Please satisfy my ignorance. What exactly is the mineral royalty grant program?
I'll quickly try to explain that. There's a $33 million fund. Comes from severance tax, is that right? Part of our diversion? Or do we appropriate it through general funds? We appropriate it, but...
Mr. Chairman, you appropriate it, but the source is federal mineral royalties and severance taxes.
That's right, and we appropriate that. And so we reduced that appropriation from 33 to 30 million by 3 million last year. Didn't we direct it somewhere to or not? Didn't we direct
Mr. it? Mr. Chairman, you directed it to the general fund.
To the general fund, and the governor line item vetoed it, but our staff had it crafted in such a way, so expertly I might add, that he couldn't reclaim it back into the original 33. So there's 3 million dollars that is sitting out there, and we've used $2 million for the passing lanes design work we approved, and then just most recently $875,000 for the court security. So there's another $125,000 out there that we can appropriate from. What the governor would like in this letter is to simply reverse our actions from last year and put $3 million back into that fund. Did I explain that, you think? All right. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, but what does the mineral royalty grant program do?
The SLIB board basically votes and they just bestow grants on communities or organizations that make the case. Okay. Microphone.
Mr. Chairman?
Yep.
I'm not sure exactly how you do this, but you take the 3-0, and that's twice in the letter, in the second line, and then also in the fifth line. So I would move taking the $3 million to $0.
Okay, is there a second? And second by Representative Nicholas. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, next we're on Governor's Letter Number 7. This is a technical correction.
Reallocation.
Actually has a positive effect. Governor's Rec, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Next is Governor's Letter. Now, we've done 8, 9, and 10, so we're on Number 11, Employee Group Insurance. That's what I have. Don, is that what you have? I'm just keeping track here. So employee group insurance, this is the borrowing authority. And there's, okay, move on Governor's Rec. Is there all those in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted.
And, Mr. Chairman, just to clarify.
Representative Stubbs.
I mean, I understand, but I just want to make sure. Because the letter's written in alternatives, what we talked about is GovsRec first alternative, right?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yeah, and that's the most. I mean, you can see the graph, and this is really what we're trying to get through and not appropriating for the high spike. You have this in your box. And not appropriating for the high spike, but allowing a little bit of flexibility. Okay. The next letter is, I have as Governor's Letter Number 12, and this is a request for $2 million for merit retention. My only question is, did we appropriate some last year? How much of that has been, how much and how much has been spent?
Mr. Chairman, $2 million was appropriated. None has been spent. I think this is not a request for new funds, but rather a change in the eligibility or flexibility for the use of the monies you appropriated last year.
Okay.
It was one time, so bonuses or and I shouldn't say bonuses, but one-time payments to individuals for retention purposes or to attract them, and this would move it to become ongoing, meaning become part of a base salary of an employee who is eligible for it.
Okay, is there a motion? Any discussion? Go ahead, Mr. Co-Chair.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we've got $2 million out there. It was a one-time, as I understand it, and it hasn't been utilized. So if you do this and you redirect it, it now becomes biennialized. And I'd like to see them access the funds that they have first. They have plenty of time to come back in the budget session, next session.
Mr. Chairman? You'd vote no on the motion.
Yep.
Okay, I agree, Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Burns.
Would it be proper to bring a motion to redirect this to revert to the general fund? It's already sitting out there in a special account waiting.
Well, the motion on the floor is GovsRec. And that is really the second paragraph is where he's requesting a change. And let's take a vote on that motion, on your motion to go approve or deny, right? I think that's the first step. So the motion on the floor is GovsRec, and that is really the second paragraph to allow this $2 million to roll over into the standard budget. If it's used for any salaries. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That has failed. Is there another motion? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, my motion is this was never used, and we'll be addressing the regular budget next year. My motion would be to take this $2 million and revert it back into the general fund.
I'll second that motion, and quite frankly, that's what the letter says. And the alternative, if we don't allow it to be biannualized, is to
reverted to the general fund. So
the proper way were really just to defeat the governor's letter. Is that where we're, is that the difference? Or go ahead,
Mr. Chairman. I think it would be good to have some directions as to whether we should deappropriate the funds in the budget or not.
That was my concern. Do you want to deappropriate for this next year of the biennium, Senator Burns? Is that your intent, or just to let this play out through the biennium?
Mr. Chairman, to revert this back into the general fund for use by the legislature, possibly this year.
Okay, so it would revert back into this section.
Exactly.
Into this fiscal year.
Mr. Chairman, we'd probably deappropriate it immediately upon passage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so that's the motion. Is there a second? Second, Representative Geer. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion is passed. Okay, next letter. The next letter I have is Governor's Letter 13. We've dealt with insurance, merit retention, and now 13 is Department of Corrections. I believe this is our last governor's letter. Is that right?
Yep.
We have one more. Which one?
Mr. Chairman, you have Governor's Letter 13 and 16.
Well, I have 13 right now in front of us, right? Oh, and then 16, sure. Gotcha. We have all the information on that. We just got to vote on it. Okay, thank you. Okay, we're on Governor's Letter 13. Okay, we're on Governor's Letter 13, and Department of Correction, this...
Mr. Chairman, I do have just kind of a question on this request from what we heard, that this may be necessary for recruiting. Can we limit that flexibility to a period of time?
All of it would be limited to the end of the budget.
Which takes us 15 months. Can we limit it to 6 months, 9 months, or do we have to go the whole way out?
Sure, you could, if that's what you'd like. Is there a motion? Motion is GovDirect.
So moved.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Our last one now, we have all the information on this from the other day when we had members of the tribe here. And the governor's...
It's all federal.
It's all federal dollars.
GovDirect.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Don, is there anything else on governor's letter?
No, Mr. Chairman.
What about the other letters from the other executive branches?
We have those others. At this point, I think I will turn the chairmanship over to Mr. Co-Chair. And why don't we take a five-minute break, and we can kind of talk about that, whether we're going to take those up today or tomorrow. Okay, thank you. Okay, members, we're going to go ahead and adjourn until 8:30 a.m. tomorrow, Friday, and we'll take up the letters from the other electeds and the 300 series, and then at noon recess, we'll do the round robin. So thank you, staff, and everyone, for all your hard work, and we'll see you tomorrow at 8:30.